Today on CityCast Houston, why can't our elected officials just get along? Plus, you won't believe what's happening at MD Anderson regarding bullying. And which famous Houstonian would you like to see roasted on Netflix? Houston Press reporter Faith Bugenhagen joins me to talk about the stories impacting H-Town this week. It's Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Faith, welcome into CityCast Houston. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a good start to the week so far, and I'm excited to chat with you to learn about what stories are catching your eye and also to have a little bit of fun. I know you listen to the show, so thank you first and foremost for supporting the show, and we appreciate you joining us and, you know, breaking down some stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for having me. And I am a big fan. I started listening before even working in Houston. And I feel like y'all do such a great job breaking down the daily news.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. Let's jump into it. Everybody's still talking about the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. Did you get a chance to watch by any chance?
As many people do, I got bits on Twitter, yeah. Social media. So I assume that I have a good understanding of the discourse in the roast.
I'm with you. I was in a similar watching pattern as well because, you know, your boy is a little cheap, right? So my brother-in-law and I share a Netflix account. So he got the jump and he was watching it first. So I couldn't kick him out. So I had to watch kind of on Twitter, but I will watch the whole thing. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it was wildly popular. And if we had to do a Houston edition of it, who would you like to get roasted on Netflix?
Yeah, I have to say Ted Cruz. You know, he's a local celebrity. He's a local lawmaker. We've seen conversations around a possible sports curse. I feel like there will be a lot of things to cover in that roast and a lot of interesting people to come forth and share their comments and share their little jokes, maybe some jabs, I don't know. But definitely something that would be interesting to see done, and maybe it could be in the works.
Yeah, maybe. That would be a really good one because there's so much content out there regarding all the stuff he's done. And yeah, the sports curse, we always talk about it on this podcast. So yeah, that would be a good one. I would love to see Mattress Mac get roasted. I think he would also be a good person because there are some good things in what he's done for the community. And then there's a lot of content out there that he would get roasted for, right? Like there's a lot out there. So that would be a good one as well. I can't wait to see a Houston one, hopefully soon. I hope something is in the works. That'd be cool.
Yeah, no, the material with Mattress Mac would be endless. Yes. It would be endless. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like every single day his marketing team is making him record a video that he probably shouldn't. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't appropriate cultures too much, Mattress Mac. Come on. You know, there's that. All right, let's get to our biggest story. What is something that everyone should know about to start the week, Faith?
Yeah, so we had a special election on May the 4th, and it might have flown a little bit under the radar for some people. It was lower turnout, which was expected because it is a special election. And it really did kind of only concentrate on Senate District 15, which, as we both know, is the Houston mayor's former Senate seat, John Whitmire. He had held it for roughly four decades. So that was significant, but I feel like some voters might not have known that that was taking place. There's a lot of elections within Senate District 15. We saw them in the March primaries. And then we also have one coming up May the 28th. But in this special election, it was to take over for the remainder of Whitmire's term, which runs through January. And Molly Cook ended up winning according to unofficial results that dropped on Saturday and then overnight on Sunday morning. So she will be the first woman to serve Senate District 15. She will also be the first out LGBTQ member of the Texas Senate, which I feel like is pretty significant. So that representation kind of bodes well for for the constituents of Senate District 15. And then she was racing against State Rep Jarvis Johnson, who came out trailing in the race. And they will be on the ballot May the 28th in the Democratic primary runoffs. And we will see them go head to head. That will determine who will be the Democratic candidate in the November general election against the sole Republican candidate, Joseph Trahan. So that were the results of that specific race. And Molly, again, will serve until January. And then depending on November's general election, that is who we will see take over for the next term and be the next senator of that district, as well as we had Harris County Appraisal District races. Two of those will be going into a runoff for place two and place three. Place one did end up having an overall winner based off those unofficial election results. That was Kathy Blueford Daniels. She is a former Houston ISD trustee, and she will be on place one on the board. And then we also saw a couple smaller, lower turnout school board trustee elections. I primarily covered KDISD. I've been on top of KDISD and all that's been in the headlines recently. Yeah. There's honestly an endless amount of material there, but we had results in those two races. Two current trustees were on the ballot against two PAC-backed challengers, David Olson and Donovan Campbell. So Rebecca Fox and Don Champagne won their reelection bid again on based off of unofficial results.
So I want to go back to Molly Cook. This is wild, right? Like, so she wins Senate District 15. She's going to be representing her district in the state Senate for 7 months, but she doesn't even get a chance to really go up to Austin and kind of figure things out right now because she has to run for the primaries, which is coming up May 28th, and then has an election to focus on to win that seat as hers outright in November. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I've spoken with Molly multiple times. I've also spoken with Jarvis Johnson as well. And it's definitely an interesting situation. Nancy Sims and I, who she's a lecturer at the University of Houston in the political science department, she mentioned something during one of our interviews that was very interesting to me. So there's a situation where Molly could serve, you know, until January. And then based off the May 28th election, if Jarvis Johnson were to take that election, then Molly could just serve until January, be out, and then depending on the November general election, we could see Jarvis Johnson win against Joseph Trahan or vice versa. So it's really interesting because Molly could serve temporarily, or she could go on to win the Democratic primary. It's a very interesting situation.
Yeah, absolutely interesting. And we'll keep tabs on this story and the May 28th primary runoff between those two. So should be a fun one. All right, my big story that everyone is already talking about, but I definitely want to recap it here. It's been a wild week for all of our folks up in North Houston. And things should finally be calming down as we get warmer weather for the rest of the week. And just to recap just how much flooding there was up there, Bush Airport got almost 3 inches of rain from May 1st to May 4th. Conroe got almost 5 inches. There's almost 10 inches reported in the Huntsville and surrounding areas. Now, even though things are going to be dry for a few days, Faith, it's still scary out there because areas like Kingwood, the San Jacinto River is crested, but it is still a flooding threat right now. And so many homes' lives were changed forever because of these rains, and to open up dams at historic rates because of the rain that came in north of those areas. It is just wild. And this is just a reminder of how scary the weather can get down here. And the images were definitely reminiscent of the H word, Hurricane Harvey. It was scary out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually in the Woodlands area. I'm originally from there. So I was actually in the Woodlands area and even up towards Conroe. So even there, in spring, there were issues with roadways. I was driving actually from Houston into that area, and I saw that the water was piled up, as you mentioned, north of us as well. It is truly devastating to see how this happened. And I actually had a friend visiting from California, and what she was shocked by is these are thunderstorms. This is rainfall. This isn't even something like a major storm like Hurricane Harvey, as you mentioned. So personally, it does make me a little wary of what's to come with the hurricane season approaching. I think it's a little scary, and I'm just glad that most of the population is able to remain safe, and I wish well to everybody who was affected by those storms.
Yeah, just heartbreaking stuff. The images were so scary throughout the weekend. And one thing I'll always remember after Hurricane Harvey is about a couple of months later, I was up in the Kingwood and the Woodlands area around there, and there's a Torchy's over there that got flooded. And they actually put a measurement of how high the floodwaters got and how quickly, and it was just heartbreaking. And those are the same areas that are constantly getting impacted now. And you feel for the residents up there. And again, as you mentioned, that was just a thunderstorm. Like that was just a stretch of rain. So, we hope that nothing worse happens, but, just scary, scary stuff. And we saw all of the people that were rescued, unofficial numbers, over 600 rescues. And by the way, if your house was impacted or your business was impacted by the flooding, you do qualify for a property tax break. You have to file by August. I've included some information in our show notes, so learn a little bit more about that. If you know somebody that was impacted by the flooding, or even if your house or your business was, definitely apply for that property tax break for 2024. Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's poppin'. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived. Okay, Faith, are you ready for some rapid fire stories?
Yes, I am. Hit me.
All right, here we go. Number one, the Houston Chronicle's Matt DeGroote has a new report out on HPD's rising numbers of force incidents during traffic stops, with a majority of them against Black and Hispanic drivers. So here are the numbers. Between 2022 and 2023, use of force incidents during traffic stops reported by the Houston Police Department jumped to 3,358, which was up from 2,877, according to data provided to the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. Now that is a 16% jump. Now, the HPD numbers regarding force incidents were a little bit lower because there is some discrepancy on what qualifies as force incidents, and there's more in that story regarding that definition. Now, let's talk about the Black motorists and Hispanic motorists. In 2023, Black motorists made up around 56% of drivers police use force on after a traffic stop, despite only making up 22% of the city's population, and Hispanics made up around 35% compared to the 45% in the city. So you're probably wondering, what race were the cops using force against these drivers? while 48% were white. Now, if you want to learn more about racial profiling during traffic stops, we have an episode on it, linked to it in our show notes. Your thoughts on these numbers and this trend overall, Faith?
Yeah, I would say it's disappointing to see these put in stats. Unfortunately, I feel as if this is known in many communities, and we see within Black and Brown communities them having to have conversations with their children when they're raising younger individuals of what to be aware of, what to do, how to conduct yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's lost that these law enforcement officers are supposed to be protecting us. They're supposed to be protecting everybody, whether you're white, Black, Brown. And I feel as if that should be concentrated on. And there's just so much work that needs to be done, because as you mentioned, these metrics are rising, and that just speaks to what needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. That is something that everyone needs to focus on in law enforcement, whether it be HPD or surrounding enforcement agencies as well, because that is a problem that we've known about, communities have known about, and the numbers are backing this. And yeah, in 2024, we hope to see those numbers decrease. But so far from last year, 2022 to 2023, there was an increase, right? And after so much was done in terms of focusing on this, during all of the protests that were going on and agencies coming out saying, no, we're going to do better, we're going to do better. Well, fast forward a couple of years and we're not doing better, right? The numbers are actually rising. So definitely something that all agencies and organizations need to focus on for sure. Okay, rapid fire number two. Downtown Houston is making things official with a pedestrian-only corridor of Main Street. Now, downtown is going to transform a 7-block stretch of Main Street by improving lighting, stormwater drainage, and raising the streets so it's even with the sidewalks. The project will officially break ground next year and should be ready for the World Cup in 2026. And this is the same stretch of Main Street that was converted into an outside, outdoor zone dining area during the pandemic. And residents loved it so much that they went to city council and said, hey, after this little zone expires in 2023, can we just keep it around? Well, yeah, they are going to actually keep things around. And that is going to be a permanent fixture in downtown. I love that because that area is so cool to just walk and enjoy without the fear of honking, without the fear of cars everywhere. It is just a delight.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of this, similar to you. I hate when people try to group Houston into a not walkable city or not outdoor city. I know it's not walkable, so nobody come for me. I understand that. I came from Boston, so I've been in walkable cities. But it just makes me happy that this is the case. I think there's a lot of danger out there when you mention pedestrians mixing with cars. So having a designated space, I don't know, it brings me back to my college roots, and I miss walking around doing a lot in Boston. So it will be nice to have a designated section where we can enjoy Houston, not have to worry about any potential accidents.
That was the one thing when I was in London for work. There are so many side streets that are just shut off to cars, right? And there's a bunch of restaurants, bars. And yeah, there's cars literally on a main thoroughway, right? You know, like 10 feet away from you. But once you turn into that street, you just relax. Everyone's hanging out. They're eating right there, standing up and eating, sitting down, eating, having drinks. And it was just so fun. And that's the vibe that I get when I'm on that stretch of Main Street where, yeah, there's cars all around us, but in this area, I'm just going to relax and have some fun and go around and enjoy everything that downtown has to offer. All right, let's get some global news regarding the city of Houston. Now, we know MD Anderson is great when it comes to cancer research and treatment. In fact, it's one of the best in the world, and they usually make headlines, global headlines at least, for all of that stuff. But right now, it's currently getting global headlines for a different reason. There's a major bullying scandal going on, and the Daily Mail had the scoop. Now, this story is wild, Faith. Here we go. There is verbal abuse. There's a plagiarism lawsuit, workers getting emergency mental health treatment, and so much more. The allegations are made towards Dr. Padmina Sharma, who is known as the quote, unquote, queen bee of the institution. Now, this investigation is super long, so y'all can read it linked in our show notes. But trust me on this one, it is wild. And there's so many different things going on. But just to see the inner workings of MD Anderson, and by the way, Medical Center, what are we doing here? It seems like every week we've got a bad story regarding the Med Center. And I guess more people are just exposing it. But man, it is wild what is going on there at MD Anderson and just the Med Center in general.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. At the Medical Center, Julian Gill, I know from the Houston Chronicle, has been all over the transplant situation. So I want to shout him out because that's where I've been getting my news on that situation. But it's unfortunate. I mean, workers' rights, working conditions. Mm-hmm. I feel as if that could be an ongoing conversation. But if you're a supervisor or above any employees, just be nice. Y'all are physicians. Y'all are taking care of people. Be nice. Be kind.
Yeah, and it's such a huge institution MD Anderson is. I actually spoke to somebody who used to work there, and that person was like, oh, this is nothing. They're like, you don't even know the half of it, like how crazy things get there, right? It is stressful. You're working in the health industry where you're trying to save people's lives. So it's already stressful, but to add this kind of stress on top of it is just so unfortunate. You got to read the whole thing. I've linked it. The Daily Mail did a good job of getting accounts from everybody. Now, there are some allegations in there. There's actually a lawsuit in there, as I mentioned. So just legally cover ourselves. I just wanted to mention that. I'm not trying to catch an MD Anderson lawsuit.
No, that's so valid.
All right, Faith, I know you listen to the show. So Tuesday, it is all about Only in H-Town. Stories that are so wild, so wacky, so unbelievable that they can only happen here in H-Town. So give me one. What is your Only in H-Town story?
Yeah, so Jen Rice and Abby Church from the Houston Chronicle, they did a write-up on the fact that Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo and Houston Mayor John Whitmire had dueling press conferences covering the weather events that we were talking about earlier in the episode. And this is in the news off and on within the last 5 months of Whitmire's time in office. And it's just interesting. I believe that there was a part of the article that touched on how this could affect if we have a major hurricane. And Hidalgo and Whitmire do claim to have a working relationship. And we saw on X, actually formerly Twitter, that a phone call between the two of them were uploaded via video. I think just to show residents that they do talk at least, but I do think it is interesting that Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo and Houston Mayor John Whitmire still have not met. We saw the New York Times profile on Hidalgo. She mentioned that Whitmire hadn't been exactly welcoming in her own words. So I think this is something that we should keep an eye on, and you know, hopefully they can present a united front eventually.
So the first thing that jumped to my mind, Faith, when I saw the dueling press conferences and the photo op, like that's what it was when they were both in helicopters. I was like, couldn't they have just done that together? Could we have saved some taxpayer dollars here? Because it is not cheap to take a chopper up in the air and go around and look at all the damage and then go get all those photo ops in as well. And I'm like, come on, can we just do this together? Like, can we both just grow up here? I don't know which side is starting it. I don't know which side is being less receptive. There's stories on both sides as you've laid out, but can we just grow up here and move on? Can we just take care of business, save some money for taxpayers? You know, by the way, the city is facing a huge budget crisis, and can we not spend extra money if we don't need to? But it was just wild to see. I'm like, come on, grow up, y'all. This is what we tell kids, get over it, grow up, and work together. And we can't do that with our officials and our politicians. Sad, sad stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, my only in H-Town story, it happens every time we get flooded here, and sure enough, it happened again. A woman stalled out in floodwaters after she talked to firefighters in Kingwood about driving through a flooded stretch of their street. Now, they told her, like, hey, woman, just wait, please, because the waters will recede. You cannot drive through this. You will get stalled out. But then she saw the firefighter's high water vehicle driving through the flooded waters. And she thought, well, I think I can just trail this huge vehicle in my Toyota Camry and get through it. And guess what, Faith? She stalled out. She got flooded. And of course, they had to save her. But the craziest part of all of this, Channel 2 caught it all on video as Gage Golding was there doing a story on rescue efforts. So he actually got the woman talking to the firefighters, them saying, please don't do this. And then a couple of minutes later, the sad image of her Camry just flooded out. Now, luckily, there was no injury. She walked away. It was okay. But man, like, what are we doing here? Can we listen to officials? And remember, turn around, don't drown. It's something that I think all Houston residents have grown up on, and yet we just don't listen.
Yeah, you said it best. Turn around, don't drown. It's been said multiple times. I myself have been in situations where I saw some water rising, whether I was out on assignment, and I said, you know, not worth it. Let me head back home.
Not worth it.
So definitely just listening to the authorities because they know what they're talking about, believe it or not.
My old coworkers used to make so much fun of me when there was rain. Even if there's like 3 inches of water, I would never drive through it. And I have an SUV. I don't care. You know why? Because I'm thinking about, okay, if my car does get flooded, I'm going to have to deal with insurance. I'm not going to get money for this car. Like, there's going to be the headaches of that. And then what if somebody does catch it on video, right? Like, the insurance company for this car is going to be like, okay, you actually just did this. So like, why would we pay out on this? So there's that angle. I am always just thinking about the worst case scenario. And yeah, I'm a sissy when it comes to driving in flooded waters. And rightfully so. I've seen enough cars get flooded out. So only in H-Town would a woman not listen to firefighters who are telling her, please don't go in there. It is deep. And she gets flooded out. Faith, that was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us and hope to have you back on soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Raheel. I really appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
That was Faith Bugenhagen. You can find all of her work with the link in our show notes. And just a reminder, we're on Instagram, so give us a follow and tag us in your Houston adventures at CityCast Houston. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new.
Bugenhagen.
Bugenhagen.
Yeah.
Say it right?
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.